Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, once again, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy. We thank you for the example that you've given us through Jesus, your Son, who came in obedience, who didn't lift himself up, who didn't bring attention to himself, but pointed attention to you, Father, our Daddy and our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ask for your presence to be here this morning in a mighty way, for your word to go forth, your word, Lord, not man's word, to go forth and touch lives and bring about change, bring new revelation, new excitement, new exuberance in you, Lord. Encourage, exhort, build up and edify according to your plan and your word, Lord. For that we praise and thank you. Hide me, Lord. It's you, Lord. It's all about you. So we give you all the place and the honor and glory in this house today. And in these houses, Lord, these temples. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 16, verse 24. I may read a couple of verses here, but if you will, stand in honor of the word. And we'll just start with this. And praise the Lord. I'm excited. I got up this morning. In fact, before I was even awake, resonating in my spirit was the song, Spirit of the Living God. No, that's not the one. Well, that's a good one too, but that wasn't it. It's the one that says basically, thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son. And thank you for leaving your Spirit to the work here on earth that's done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 16, verse 24, starting in verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, or to disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in loving, and if need be, in denying also. For whosoever is bent on saving his temple or his temporal life, his comfort and security here, shall lose it, eternal life. And whosoever loses his life, his comfort and his security here for my sake, shall find it, everlasting life. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A few weeks ago, we started something on Mother's Day. And this is about dads today. But more than that, it's about our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you. I have just an overwhelming, burning desire to give honor to my Father.
Amen.
Not just today, but especially today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Now I'm going to try real hard since I have my Amplified Bible with me today. I have both, but I want to use the Amplified not for everything that I have to say, but for a couple of specific places. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. I appreciate the word that Richard brought. And how many appreciate the Holy Spirit? I'm telling you, thank you, Lord. Amen. For leaving your spirit until the work here is done. Work in us. It's not just work out there, but it's work in us. Amen. He's working in us too. Amen. If he's not, we better start examining ourselves. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. When Perry prayed this morning, I mean, he stood there and preached my sermon in his prayer. Richard got up and he just basically more intently on what the Spirit of God had put in my heart today for you folks and for all of us. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. It said, wives, be subject or be submissive and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. Okay? We're not going there today. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior of his body. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be subject in everything to their husbands. Now, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In this world today, we see the commercials on TV and we know what goes on, that men are so into themselves. Okay, we talked about the ladies. We're not going to go there today. We already know that there's giftings and callings that God has put on us. And that comes even from the very gender at your birth. Do you know what I'm saying? So, praise the Lord. God's put those giftings and callings. Now, what we see here, in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, it's not just wives, it's children also. And as Donna aptly said, and Donna added to this also, praise God, I think we're all on the same page this morning. How about you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus never exalted Jesus. And Jesus never did anything to bring attention to himself. But everything he did was an act of laying down his life according to the Father for those that God had entrusted to him and for the salvation of God's creation. Amen? Praise the Lord. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What does that mean? That means lay your life down. It can't be said any more simpler. It can't be expounded upon any more than that. Lay your lives down. And we're going to talk about how you do that. Amen? Men, we're examples. Not only do we have responsibilities to our wives, but we also have responsibilities to our children and those people around us. Again, as Donna said apropos this morning, we are fathers not only to those who are immediately in our charge or of our own house, but we are in charge also of setting the format for the entire planet. Hallelujah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And you know what? You don't have to get shook up about that because you're not doing it on your own. You're not doing it by yourself. You've got the Spirit of God, which Jesus said would come, and you've got Him, the Father, and the living Word to back you up, to be a co-laborer with you, and to cause these things to come into fruition. But you can never be effective until you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 26. So that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. Now, do you understand that when you sanctify, how you sanctify your wife or how you sanctify your children is by the way that you share and present the Word, not only in the way you live, but in times together, whether it's over the dinner table or times of fellowship and meditation on the Word or however you do it in your house. That has a profound impact. Number one, it shows that you care and you love your wife and your children. Amen?
Amen.
It shows that you love God and who you're really honoring. Now, if you're going to honor yourself, gentlemen, you're going to fall far short. You're going to miss the mark because it's about you and not about them. Jesus never looked at what he was going to get out of it. He only looked at what the Father said was his plan to redeem back what he had lost through sin and ungodliness in the garden. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Let's go on. By the washing of the water of the Word, that's how you wash your children. That's how you wash your wife. But not only by speaking it and reading it, but by living it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I think God's got a theme here this morning because it's been throughout ever since I walked in this morning. It's just been boom, 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 boom right down the line. I love it. Now, the reason that we do this is so that we might present, or so that we might sanctify her, having cleansed her with the washing of the Word, that he might present the church to himself. This is why Jesus did what he did, to sanctify us in glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such things, that she might be holy and faultless. Or if I can just add a little bit to that, so that they, meaning your wife, your children, and those who are around you, can be faultless, be without spot and wrinkle. Amen? Gentlemen, our responsibility is to not only wash and live the life that we need to live, but also to be a covering over our women and our children. Because God's a covering over us. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is the head of the church. We're going to see that in a few minutes. But the point is, The Bible says that children imitate their fathers. Jesus imitated his father. His father was a giver of life, and that more abundantly. Amen? Giver of good things. His thoughts towards us were what? Good. Thoughts for good and not for evil. His thoughts were to prosper and not to harm us. Thoughts to give us a hope in the future. Now, is there one man here today, or woman, either one, who doesn't have those thoughts for those that God has entrusted to you? I think not. I think that's just inherent. I think you can't be a Christian without having those thoughts. Amen? We know that if we lose our life for His sake, we'll find it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you can't just be sitting in the wherever this tape goes, I pray that the Holy Spirit uses it for God's honor and glory. Not for me, but for His honor and glory. But you can't just sit at home and watch the football games all the time when you walk in the house or whatever. Sit down with your beer and forget that your family exists. You've got to spend time with your wife. You've got to spend time with your children. You've got to spend time as God allows and as God prompts with those people that He's entrusted to you. Amen? As God prompts. Now, I'm not saying you got to go crazy and just, you know, run around like a mad person. I'm saying the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. He orders our steps in His Word, does He not? And He leads us by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Even so, in verse 28, husbands should love their wives as being in a sense their own bodies. For he who loves his own wife loves himself. This is where it starts. Gentlemen, you in your household, some of us are already past that stage, but we understand it very clearly. You in your household, when you show the love that you have for your spouse that God gave you, the wife of your youth, you are also demonstrating a pattern and a way to walk for your children. As you honor your wife, as you honor your husband, what you're doing is setting a pattern for your children to be able to see how to honor you, but more importantly, how to honor God. And that's the first and most important thing. Gentlemen, ladies, we honor God first. Amen? That's where our priorities need to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For he who loves his own wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it, as Christ does the church, because we are members or parts of his body. Now see, the example is, when it talks about it, here in a few minutes we'll look at that too, is Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of man. If he's the head of man, and gentlemen, let me remind you that we are also part of the bride of Christ. And we'll never be what we need to be unless we become that bride to Jesus. To set the example for our families. And as we all know, and if you don't know, I'm going to tell you this morning. You want harmony in your home? You want to be able to come home and have peace? And feel, I mean, the tremendous blessing of God in your house? Then you become a bride to Jesus. Set that example. And you watch your wife respond to you as the head of your house. Not trying to take the authority from you, but submitting to you the way you submit to Jesus, to the Father. Amen? Praise God. Glory to God. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. See, for you to dishonor your wife or not to set the example, you dishonor yourself. More than that, most importantly, and what should put fear right to your very toes, from the crown of your head to your very toes, is you dishonor God. Oh, don't shout me down. You dishonor God. We are created in His image and likeness. What does that mean? We have to be of the same mind. The same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Honor the Father at all costs. Obey Him. Do His will. Do you realize in doing that, that's when you bring and open the gates, the flood house gates, the floodgate doors, to bring blessings into your life that you can't even contain. God loves us and He blesses us in spite of ourselves, but the point is, if you really want to see the blessings of God, obey His word, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus' example. And in everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. Amen? As unto Father God. Praise the Lord. This mystery is very great, but I speak concerning the relation of Christ and the church. That's our example. That's what we're talking about here. How many know that a head doesn't walk around without a body? And a body doesn't function without a head. You talk about a pinball machine, dear Lord. I mean, you're just, you know, bing, 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 all over the place. You don't get anywhere. You don't get nothing done. Besides that, you can't survive. You don't have clear direction. Amen? So as we surrender ourselves to Him, men and ladies, we can see His plan, His vision, His purpose begin to come into fruition through our actions and will cause others to come to Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Especially our children. However, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as his very own self. And let his wife see that she respects and reverences her husband. She notices him, regards him, honors him, and prefers him with venerance and esteem him. And there's a bunch of big words in here. That she defers to him, praise, and loves him, and admires him. Now, gentlemen, that doesn't mean you have a right to demand that. I heard Stan say something one time that has, again, affected me to the very core of my foundation. You're not a husband when you say so. You're a husband when your wife says so. Amen. You hear me? And that's going to happen only when you're submitted to Jesus, submitted to the Father, submitted to Jesus as your bridegroom, and to the Father as your Heavenly Father. Obeying Him and doing what He says. He'll put things in your heart. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And that doesn't just mean He'll give you what you desire. It means He will put His desires in your heart and give you those desires. Amen. To fulfill His word and to fulfill His plan in the world. Amen? Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians 3, verses 18 through 25. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 25. Are we all on the same page so far?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, it's so easy, especially in this day and age, to fall into the trap of the way the world is going. And gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. Because of that mess, because men have not stood up and done what they needed to do, and you know what, guys? I commend the men of this house. I am proud and I'm honored to be a part of this house because you have a desire and a love for God. We don't always do things right. None of us do. But the point is we have a heart to. And thank God because we have a heart to, we're quick to repent and we desire to grow and go on and be what God wants us to be. Not for our benefit, but for the benefit of those around us and those that God brings into our path, which starts with your own wife and your own children in your own house. God says you can't rule in my house if you can't rule in your own house. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 25. Listen carefully. Wives, be subject to your husbands, subordinate, and adapt yourselves to them, as in the sight, as is right and fitting and proper, your proper duty in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Listen, guys. Oh, listen carefully. I like what the Amplified says here. Be affectionate and sympathetic with them. Do not be harsh or bitter or resentful toward them. Now, ladies, I'm not going to say anymore. We already talked about your position and what God's called you to do and how you can set the tone in your house. But, gentlemen, now here's your responsibility. Here's your responsibility. Okay? Husbands, love your wives. Be affectionate and sympathetic with them, and do not be harsh or bitter or resentful toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. How many know you're children of God? So this is not just talking to the children of this earth. This is in respect to our own worldly families. It's in the respect that we give honor to our Father. And how do you do that? You do that by obeying the Word of God, by laying your life down for Him, by trying to portray everything that He says to portray, by lifting Him up, by exalting Him in everything you do in word or deed, and you set the example for your children. You want your children to honor you, you honor God. And that's for both men and women. You want your children to honor you, you want them to bring blessings on you and to be a blessing in the community, Not wind up in the prisons. Not wind up with all the problems they have and on drugs and stuff. Honor God. And honor your wife. And set the example with the way you live your life for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Laying your life down for your children, fathers, means taking the time out of your day, even though you come home tired, kind of wore out. Maybe you've had a nasty day. Tie it outside. Come home. Let your wife know you love her. Remind her that God loves her. And then get your children. Give them a big hug and a kiss. And spend as much time as you possibly can with them. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm not talking about young children now, fathers. For those of us who have older children, that means our children now. It spills over into our grandchildren. And then our great-grandchildren. Amen? It also spills into, as Donna said, into nieces and nephews. Amen? Be the example for those around you, sisters and brothers. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. It's an awesome responsibility. Try to do it yourself, you're going to buckle under the pressure. But with God, it's not a chore. It's a pleasure. And not only that, it brings pleasure to you. Do you understand that? Because as they honor God and they honor you, where's the strife and contention? There is none. There is none. Hallelujah. Peace, security, and safety. Amen?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Now listen, Father, this is very important. Do not provoke or irritate or fret your children. Do not be hard on them or harass them, lest they be discouraged and sullen and morose and feel. I believe that's what that word says, morose. It's M-O-R-O-S-E. And feel inferior and frustrated. Do not break their spirit. Gentlemen, and moms too, but mostly I'm talking to the gentlemen today. Sitting, speaking harshly to your children because you're too lazy to get up and train them properly is not going to make it. But as we've talked about, I believe last Sunday, all it's going to do is bring damage to them. How do you feel? How did you feel if your fathers did it, or when people, whether it's your employers or whoever, did do those things to you? You feel kind of substandard? Feel kind of worthless? Doesn't that try to creep on you? Now you know better. You know that you're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You know that God doesn't create junk. But the point is, how do you feel when that's done to you? Imitate Christ, not the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because all you do is waste your breath. And they're going to go on doing what they do because they want your attention and you're so busy doing other things that you can't do it. And then all of a sudden when they do something standing right beside you and you don't catch it, then you're angry. Oh, this is a good plan. I'm living proof of it, folks. It doesn't work. Thank God for restoration and reconciliation and healing in Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Don't provoke them. Train them. Train them properly. Take them by the hand and say, if you do it again, there's going to be problems. And a little child, you just take them and you move them away. Just let them know that it's not acceptable. And if they go back again, you know, I've got a thong, what they call a thong. Bring your mind back where it belongs. I've got a flip-flop. There, thank you, Deborah. Well, in my day, they called them thongs. But anyway, I've got a thong. And my little granddaughter, Ariana, knows when Papa gets that thong out or that flip-flop, she needs to stop doing what she's doing. And you know, it's incredible. Because Papa stopped what he's doing to watch what's going on. I'm not oblivious. I watch what's going on. Even though I may be focused on something, my responsibility is also to take care of them, especially when Mom and Dad aren't around. Amen?
That's right.
And she knows when I get that out, look out. But when I speak to her, she's already learned, and she doesn't treat me the way she treats Mom and Dad. When Papa speaks, she knows trouble's brewing. So she backs off. In fact, sometimes she gets to the point where she'll just automatically sit down. Why? Because the slipper's coming. She knows that. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. All you're doing is provoking them and damaging them. All they're saying to you and what they're doing is they want to be a viable part of what's going on around them. They want to be a viable part of you. They want to feel accepted and loved. Amen? Isn't that what you and I want? Isn't that what we receive from God, the Father God? Hallelujah. Hey, you know, folks, this isn't rocket science, and it's not hard. It takes the determination and the decision, and then watch the Holy Spirit come on the scene and cause to happen what God intended to happen. Amen? And not only that, when you do those kind of things, when you're just harsh with them and say no all the time, how many times a day are you going to say no before you realize it's not working? It's you're wasting your breath. Or as they said one time, you spit in the wind, it's all going to come back on you. Then you get up frustrated. Who's got the problem here, the child or you? Who's running the house, you or the child? Help us, Lord. Don't discourage them. Don't break their spirit. Servants, obey. Listen carefully. Sounds like a command, not a suggestion. Servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Not only when their eyes are on you as pleasers of men, but in simplicity of purpose with all your heart, because your reverence for the Lord and as a sincere, because of your reverence for the Lord and as a sincere expression of your devotion to Him. How many know that the Bible says what you sow, you reap? How many know that the Bible says that you don't get any other kind of fruit other than the fruit you sow? When you sow a seed, you're going to get that kind of return. If it's corn, it's corn. If it's figs, it's figs. If it's apples, it's not peaches, it's apples. Amen? So what you sow, you're going to reap. It's right there in black and white. We see it every day. And yet, sometimes we choose, and we don't understand we're making a choice when we don't do anything like we're supposed to. You've already made a choice. And you're bringing on a harvest you really don't want. How many know what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. Whatever may be your task, work at it heartily from the soul as something done for the Lord and not for men. Knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord and not from men, that you will receive the inheritance which is your real reward, the one whom you are actually serving is the Lord Christ, the Messiah. Can I tell you something, folks? This is called laying up treasures for yourselves, not only in heaven, but on this earth. Especially in heaven, but on this earth. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For he who deals wrongfully will reap the fruit of his folly and be punished for his wrongdoing. And with God there is no partiality. No matter what a person's position may be, whether he is a slave or master. Did you get that? You won't escape. Because what you sow, you'll reap. Now, we all know there's forgiveness in God. But I'm going to remind you, there's a lot of people in prison who have done the wrong thing and are reaping what they sowed. Doesn't mean God hasn't forgiven them. Doesn't mean God hasn't forgiven them. In recent years, we've heard of those who have done horrendous things, gone into prison, and God got a hold of their lives and turned them around where there was no denying, both by their peers, prison officials, that something transformed in their life. Amen? Hallelujah. And those who died because death was apropos are now in the arms of Jesus, just like the one thief on the cross. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do everything for the glory of God. Proverbs 22:6. Very familiar scripture to all of us. Should be anyway. Not just moms and dads, but to all of us. Proverbs 22:6. Is anybody getting anything out of this morning?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And you know what? I don't know about y'all, but I don't feel in the least bit intimidated or beat up by this. I feel my Father's loving arms wrapping around me, trying to show me the right way. Does that sound like an example? Wow.
Hallelujah. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and in keeping with his individual gift or bent, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, training is more than just verbally shouting out orders or absolutes to your children. Little Ariana used to have a problem. When Charles first came here, I'm going to tell on him a little bit. When Charles first came here, he walked into my mom's house and he walked into my house and said, well, we just put those things up. Oh, no. This is my house. Now, I'm not saying that in pride or arrogance, but this is what God's given to me, and I have a responsibility for that too as a good steward. We just put those things up. She used to love to go in and pull out, pull down, open up, and strew DVDs and VHS cassettes all over creation. She doesn't do that anymore because Grandpa got up and didn't just say no 15 times. I can tell you right now, there's been times when I've looked at little Ariana and just pointed my finger and looked at her just like this. Stared right in her eyes. And honey, she knew right then and there, it's time to back off because trouble's coming. You know, she didn't bother him anymore. Charles would get frustrated. He'd holler. Now, folks, I don't say this to put any blame or fault on Charles. We all started out young, amen? We all have to grow in the Lord. But the point is, do you understand I'm not only setting an example for the child, but I'm setting the example for my son-in-law who God has entrusted to my life. Amen? Do you see the ramifications of what you do? It has far-reaching effects, far beyond what you even realize. It has effects on your wife. It has effects on the other siblings. How you treat them. You've got to be consistent in what you do the same way God's consistent. How many know God doesn't treat anybody any differently than anybody else? He's no respecter of persons. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise God. This is good stuff. I'm not talking about the water. I'm talking about the Word. Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs 22, verse 15, or just look down to verse 15. God tells you right from the start. Why are you surprised? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from them. Hallelujah. Oh, well, now there goes the modern-day theory of don't spank your child. Where'd they come up with that? I guarantee you that kind of thinking did not come from God. Hallelujah. Doesn't your Bible say whom the Lord loves, He chastens and chastises every son? And don't you feel loved? Because He doesn't come over there and start shouting, I told you no! Get away from there! I'm going to kill you! Make another one just like you! When did you ever hear God talk like that? You never heard that. We laugh at it when comedians like Bill Cosby talk it, but you know what? That's the way we act sometimes. Because we're too lazy to get off our duff and do what's right. And you know what that says? It's all about me. It's all about me. Oh, well, now, okay, have it your way. 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Proverbs 13:24. You want to hear an indictment? Folks, this isn't just something written on a page. This is an indictment against fathers and mothers who refuse to operate in the Word of God. And it exposes who and what you really are and where you're really at with God. He who spares the rod of discipline hates his son. But he who loves his son disciplines diligently and punishes him early. Now, punish doesn't mean you just go off, scream at him, holler at him, and then beat the tar out of him. That's not what it means. And can I tell you something? I wish I'd have been this smart when I was a young dad. Look them right in the eye and say no one time. Or if they're old enough to understand, you say, your actions are going to bring about punishment if you continue. And if they repeat it, don't sit there and wait for a second time, because all you do is teach them. We all know this. Man, this isn't brain surgery. We know this. We've got the proof in some of our lives. Sit there and tell them no, and then say, well, I'm going to get you, and you're going to get it. Okay, when? And they're going to push it to find out when. Because they want your attention. They want you to guide them in the right way. Isn't that what you desire from your Father in heaven? Isn't that what you desire from the Lord? His attention and His guidance? Then, dear Lord, start acting like it and do that for your children. You're the example of Christ on this earth. Are you not?
One time you say no, or you explain to them, that is unacceptable behavior. We don't act like that. We don't do things like that. And if there's a second time, get the flip-flop out. Can I tell you something? It makes a wonderful noise, especially on a diaper. You're not going to hurt him, but you'll scare him enough to where, I ain't going to do that again. Mm-mm. Or as one man put it to me, a dear friend of mine, Willie, you should get a kick out of this. I said, no, Will. He said, man, I'm fitting to get in the wind. I like that. We need to have that kind of thoughts in our lives. Amen? Amen? God said it once. He didn't stutter, he didn't stammer, and he wasn't kidding.
That's right.
Were you kidding when you said no to your child? Are you so busy doing other things? Let's face it. And folks, please, let's don't get religious on this. Sometimes I watch my daughter at night, and she needs for me to get up from the computer and go and do something with the little one, especially my grandson when he's there, and my smallest granddaughter. So I get up and I keep them occupied and do what I need to do while she's fixing dinner. Do everything you do in word or deed as unto the Lord. Amen? Wouldn't you like the same respect if you're busy doing something and she's available so that you can get what you need to do done? Amen? Don't make it your whole life. Just do what you got to do and then get back to what's important in your life. Did you hear me? What's important in your life? See, what your actions are going to speak so loud, your words are not going to be heard. You're going to teach those kids what's important in their lives by your actions.
Amen.
Now, for those of us who may have gone through it already and wish we had been able to do things differently, thank God that He's in control, because it's His plan and purpose. And when you purpose to follow Him with your whole life, God takes care of those things. And I'm sorry, I don't care what the world says. Children, they may be set in the natural by the age of 2, but there's such a thing as God and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And as you teach them and as you try to live your life and as you honor them by saying, you know what, I was wrong in the way I treated you. I apologize. I'm sorry you didn't deserve that. I was out of line. That's not the way God treats people. That's not the way I need to treat you. I'm just talking about examples here, folks. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you don't beat your child with a rod, and that doesn't mean take a big stick and pound the hound out of him. The rod can be a flip-flop. Oops, time to change course. Would that we were that obedient in many areas. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm having fun. I hope y'all are getting as much out of it as I am. I'm having fun. I thank God. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone who He loves, and He punishes, even scourges, every son whom He accepts and welcomes to His heart and cherishes. And again, that's not talking about just taking a whip and beating them. Isn't part of the Holy Spirit's job to teach and to guide?
Yes.
Amen. So that's part of our job too. Don't discipline or try to set things straight when you're angry. If you get to that point where you're that enraged, back off. Go to God and start praying. Praying in tongues, praying. Let the Spirit of God and the peace of God come on you and then go back.
That's right.
If you need to say, we're going to talk about this later, I'm just telling you now, we're going to talk about this later. And there could be some punishment involved. Do it that way, guys. Don't do that in anger. What did we read earlier? Don't provoke your children. Don't damage their spirit. You're not training them when you do that. You're abusing them. And I'm not talking about the abuse the world talks about. I'm talking about the fact that you're going against what God says. Amen? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Ephesians chapter 25, verses 25 through 27. I know we've already read this, but I want to bring some emphasis on this. I want to go back and touch on the fact of our relationship with Christ as the church and as husbands and wives. Amen. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her." I want to reiterate that once again, he did everything in obedience to the Father. For who? For you and I. To restore us into right relationship with the Father and to span the gulf that separated us from the presence of God. Tearing in two that wall that separated us because of sin. So that he might sanctify her, the church, as an example for us as dads, as men, to sanctify those that we're entrusted with, starting with our wives. Remember, as you treat your wife is the way your kids are going to grow up and treat their siblings or their spouses. And you do that not only with the rod of correction, but with the word. And you can't do that if you're not living up to that word yourself or letting that word operate in you the same way. You don't use it as a manipulation or a leverage. Use it as truth and a guide into what's right and moral and correct. Amen? Hallelujah. That he might present his church to himself in glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That she might be holy and faultless. Do you understand, gentlemen, you're doing yourselves a favor? See, I know you all know this, but it's something that needs to be said. Amen? I know I'm not talking to ignorant people here. You walk with the Lord. You're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But these are things sometimes we need to remind ourselves of. Amen? Praise the Lord. And you're doing yourself a favor because you're going to bring and cause a blessing to come back on you because of the way that you acted, just like you were intended to be a blessing to the Father, not only on this earth, when you go into his presence. And not only as sons, but as heirs. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Finally, in closing, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. I just don't understand how you could go through a message like this and not come back to this chapter. I just don't, because it's all based on love. And not love as we perceive it in the world, or as let me backtrack, as the world perceives it, but love as it is in truth. According to God. And God is our example. He's talking about the way he views us in verses 4 through 8 in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm just going to touch on them. I don't think I'm going to read it. Love endures long and is patient. Okay? I know in my life when I got frustrated with my son or my daughter, it's because I was too focused on what I was doing and on me. Or things that I thought were important. And I'm not denying there's some things we do that are important because we're told to occupy who we come. But you know what? You've been entrusted with a great gift or great gifts and a wife and children and grandchildren. And we can't afford not to take that seriously. Love endures long and is patient. Oh, well, you know, you're on the computer and all of a sudden you see your child doing something that they're, you know, stop that. No. I said no. And then 2 minutes later, they're back there again. And I said no. I don't know about you all. I don't know if you see the humor. It's really very sad, but it is humorous. How silly is that? I'll tell you what. If we could see an instant replay, we might do some changing quickly. Love is never envious. Never boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful. It's not vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. I have my rights. Don't you know I'm the head of this house? Oh, mercy. Oh, mercy. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We can all say, oh, me together. It is not conceited or arrogant and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, or God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I want to focus on that for just a minute, on that, in that verse. It does not insist on its own rights and ways. Can I tell you something? God says His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. Do you realize in laying down your life, you are opening the gates to receive everything that God has for you? Even some blessings that you just desire, because God loves you. But more than that, you're setting an everlasting tempo in your house that's going to cause them to do the same, your wife and your children. You teach them by the word, it's not about you. All of us, starting right here, it's not about me. It's not about you, it's about God, the Father, the Creator, who we're supposed to, today as well as every day, honor Him. He deserves the honor. Not me, not you. He deserved the honor. But you see, as you honor Him, He says He honors you. Mercy. Do you understand? So by doing it His way, you open the doors for that to come back on you. Didn't we just read, His love is not self-seeking? I had a couple come in one night in a building I was watching downtown. They came in, and of course, he, as he was going on to the elevator with her, started hooping and hollering and acting like a nutcase when I knew right away he was drunk, even though they didn't display it when they walked in. Or at least happy. Anyway, about less than 5 minutes later, they both come back up, and she's standing at the desk looking right at me with her arms folded. I'm thinking, oh, mercy. Lord, what's going on here? And she looks at me, and she says, and he, of course, he's standing over there with his hands in his pockets, just kind of looking, you know, Gertrude and Heathcliff, you know. And she says, he won't give me the keys to the car. He's drunk, and he won't give me the keys to the car. So I started to talk to him, set down some things, told him what the law says. But then also, you know, I mean, the whole time God's dealing with me saying, man, this marriage is over. This marriage is over. I said, well, sir, you know, you could harm her by not doing what she asks. If you're inebriated, you could hurt her or somebody else. And the immediate words out of her mouth that sealed what I'd already felt. I don't think he even cares about me anymore. Now, that sounds like a marriage. Yeah, man, that's a cadet. Let's all jump right in. No way, Jose. Not doing it. Pride and arrogance. And to top it all off, that liquid courage, or what I call liquid stupidity. Man, they named it right when they named it spirits. Because you don't know what spirit you're of when you're dealing with it and involved in it. I'm not saying you're going to hell because you have a drink once in a while. That's not what I'm talking about. The Bible says overindulgence of any kind is wrong.
That's right.
And when you drink to the point, or you do anything to the point where you're not in control, you are violating the Word. Do you understand that?
Amen.
The world obviously doesn't, so it's up to us to place that and show that example.
That's right.
Amen? Everything with moderation. Your Bible says nothing in and of itself is evil. It's the heart and the desire behind it that's evil. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not touchy. It's not self-seeking. It's not resentful. It takes no account of an evil done to it. Oh, man. Vengeance is sweet, some people say. But your Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Remember, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We all know this. You want forgiveness? You give forgiveness. What does that mean? It doesn't mean I forgive you. It means I release you. It's in God's hands. It's okay. And that's the only way you're ever going to be able to get rid of it and walk away from it. Because y'all have tried it just like I have and say I forgive somebody, and yet that thing eats you alive the minute you walk out the door. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. That's why we need the Lord, folks. Amen? We need the Lord. People need the Lord. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. I don't even think I need to say anything about that. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. You see, what the world doesn't know, because they see all these goofy movies on television, is that love is not a fuzzy feeling. I love you so much. You just do so many nice things for me, but you don't reciprocate. You hear what I'm saying to you? Love is a choice. Your Father, your Creator, created you in love. Loved you so much that even when the human race, starting with Adam and Eve, spit in his face, disobeyed him, and rebelled against what he said, listening to the lies of a stranger and a foreigner, he devised a plan for us to be redeemed back to him. I told you many times what I taught my son and daughter. I said, if you get into a problem, don't run from me. Don't run from me, run to me. That's where there's safety. I still to this day wonder what would have happened if Adam would have said, instead of the woman you gave me, which impressed God greatly, we all know that. I mean, that went over real big. Yeah. If he'd have said, Father, I'm sorry. Took it on himself as the head. Do you understand that's part of what it means? I remember one time there was a situation in my building where a couple of young men who were very green, had no training, no experience in the security field, did something really horrendously stupid. And of course, I turned white when I walked in and saw it. I'm not going to go into all the details. Basically, it was a package with duct tape on it. Anybody who knows anything about duct tape and packages and stuff, that's the first sign that it could possibly be a bomb. And these guys had no clue. One was black, one was white. And while I was frustrated and upset, and they visibly knew I was, I called them aside one-on-one. Well, actually, I called them together and told the guy, and said, listen, the reason I'm so upset is because of the fact that could have been a bomb. And when I walked in just a few minutes ago, I could have been having to find out what your phone numbers were to notify your next of kin. And I'm telling you, they both turned shades of white you never saw before. I'm not lying to you. Their mouths dropped open, their faces got flushed, and I'm telling you, they had no clue. But you know what's going through my mind? Bill, even though I didn't train them, but I'm the manager. I'm responsible. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I thought to myself, okay, is this a training issue? Or is this a discipline issue? No. I accepted the responsibility again, even though I didn't. Who cares whether I trained them or not? I care about my employees. If you're doing the right thing or you're trying to do the right thing, I'm going to judge, first of all, okay, is this something you failed to do or did you miss? Better start in your home. Better start in your home. So I took them aside and I trained them because it was a training issue. Not something to be angry at them at. They didn't know any better. Dear Lord. They didn't know any better. Are you with me? The Bible says, consider your ways. Guys, As I said at the onset of this, I couldn't be prouder to be in any place or be associated with men and people. We're talking about men today, but I'm acknowledging all of you as I am with these people right here, you folks. People who live the example. I told Stan one time, and early in this church's history, I said, you know, until I came here, I never saw the real Jesus in my life. I never saw real body ministry. Do you know, folks, why it's so easy to love you? Because I've never seen any one of you sit back in judgment over anybody else, including me. And I the same with you. It's not that we don't do things sometimes that are irritating or that maybe not be quite right. But instead of getting involved and trying to be the Holy Spirit, we let the Holy Spirit deal with it and we continue loving. Do you realize that's the greatest thing you can do? If God tells you to speak, speak. Don't sit there and be silent. But the biggest thing you can do is allow the Holy Spirit to operate in your life. And then to go on and pass on the grace and the mercy that's been afforded you by the Lord and by our Father. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And we know that He lives, no matter what men say. Because we've seen His hand in our lives. Haven't we? Some of us have come a long way. Some of us have come a short way because we're fairly new to all this. In other words, walking in the Spirit and in truth, and loving in Spirit and truth, and worshiping in the Spirit and truth. Everybody wants to be a critic in the world. But you know where you need to start being a critic at? Right here. Right here. I said something to somebody here just recently. Maybe I can't remember. I said it Wednesday night or what. But I said something to one or two people here recently in the church. Bottom line is that I think it was Bill Frantz, and maybe there was somebody else there. I cannot believe, I cannot accept that God does not have something absolutely amazing for us to do and to bless the people of this house. I'm not just talking about this house. I'm not being selfish here. But the point is, the way you folks have lived your lives and the example you set and the way the Word has been filtered into your life and you've operated on it and grown, I can't believe it's not for something absolutely far beyond what we could ask or think. For His kingdom. And that the blessing for obedience is just as astronomical. Are you with me? I believe that with all of my heart. I want to see it happen. I can't think of folks more deserving than the people in this house. And I'm not trying to butter you up. I believe I'm speaking from the heart of God. It's not that we deserve it any more than anybody else, but because of the heart, the steadfast heart, and the type of word that's been brought in this house, walking in it. Well, part of walking in it is saying, God, I don't know if I can live up to this, but I want to. And then He steps right on the scene. You've opened the door. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited to be a dad. I thank God for the gifts and calls He's placed on my life. I thank God for the gifts and calls He's placed on the ladies of this church's lives too. But more than that, I'm thankful that I know my true Father. And I'm thankful that I have a relationship with Him to end all relationships. But the example of what all relationships should be, especially those who are the closest to me. And that includes you. You understand that? That includes you. Starts in my house, but you're part of my house too, because we're part of His house. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't He? Hallelujah. 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 Is there anybody here feels that they've been criticized this morning? Is there anybody here feels like they've heard the Word and feel better, feel freer, feel the peace of God? Praise the Lord. That's what this was all about. More than anything, I hope that, which I know you'll do, is that you'll give God honor today. You'll take time out for Him. Not just celebrate our earthly fathers, which God designed, but celebrate Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is there anything we need to pray about? I'm sorry? That's right. Amen. Well, Father, once again, in agreement, corporately, we come together and we thank You, Lord, that eyesight's going to be restored. We thank You You're going to guide the hands of those who perform this operation, Lord, or this function, whatever it is, Lord. I thank You that You are the one who's holding the tools. And we thank You for the restoration of her sight. Send the word now. Thank You, Lord, for speedy healing and for pain to dissipate and go away, not even to arise. We ask this in Your name, Lord, on behalf of Jean, Lord, We thank you for her, for the blessing she is to this house. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Father, right now then, we just thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, for your operation by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Seal your word in our hearts. I thank you for encouragement and peace, for the exhortation and comfort and that people are built up today by your word, by hearing your thoughts, understanding what you see, what you know, and by revealing that to us through stammering lips, Lord, and flesh. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we dismiss, asking you to sanctify the food or fellowship in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, and I ask that your face and your countenance would shine on your people, that they'd be drawn to you, Lord, and as they're drawn to you, they would continue to, by the light that you put in them, that mirror would reflect you, Lord, and men in your creation would see your light and be drawn to you. We exalt you and lift you up, Lord, so that you can lift men up or draw men to yourself. We praise you and thank you for today, Lord, now. And we do acknowledge you. We say to you, Happy Father's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.